the host of the Grass Cutters Association, Nick Davis on the line.
a couple of former members on the radio at the moment. It's been put to vote, and around the grounds has been officially rebranded the Saturday Morning Mowers. We've got a couple of new sponsors on board. Top Sport are renewing their sponsorship, and I think Toro Mowers are on board as well.
So we're
really branching out.
I remember back in 2005 seeing him do some of his best grass cutting at Sapphire Suite. So this has been going on for a long time.
The Law Mowers Club.
It was going on for a long time. This is 15, 16 years in the making, you know.
Hey, it has been a long time in the making, but a lot of all that's probably not going to make it onto the show.
By the way, outstanding job last week. So
yes,
you're the backup for Fletch. Well, the backup come up last week, Nicky Davis.
Well, you only need a chance. I thought I might not be back today.
Yeah, he was very good.
He was good.
By the way, around the grounds we go. I just snuck in, didn't I? I noticed just before we come on air, the Browns were leading by 10. I took the 3.5 start giving to the Broncos. Good to see I made it. Hey, Nico.
Yeah, he made it. But look, I thought with the injuries to the Browns, Baker Mayfield being out, the two running backs being out, I thought the 3.5 was pretty good. But Cleveland Browns, they jumped out of the box. They started on fire. I thought they were going to put a number on them, but Denver able to claw it back. Teddy Bridgewater was pretty good. So the 3.5 to start off the game. And look, most of these Thursday night games here have been, even though look on paper they haven't looked that great, they've all been pretty close, and so it's been not too bad viewing on the Friday sort of lunchtime here, Australia time.
Nicky, our man Matt in California, Foot Juice, what a great nickname, that, a.k.a. Foot Juice.
Do you know why he's called Foot Juice?
No, it's fantastic,
bud. Because he's on the wine all the time.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's how they get the wine going there, Foot Juice.
he put a line through Kansas City. Now, I know they're not playing well, but I'm not going to put a line through them just yet. I don't think they're anywhere near their best. Where do you see them after, the first quarter of the season?
I'm with you, Finchie. I think that any time you've got, the quarterback, and it's such a quarterback league at the moment, the teams that have got good quarterbacks are playing well. Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes is right up there. I think what's happened, their defense has let them down a little bit. They've had to chase big scores, and it puts a lot of pressure on your offense the whole time to have to put up 30, 35, 40 points a game to win. And what's happening, look, opposition defenses are recognizing that they can score against them.
Yep.
And they're just sort of sitting back a little bit in defense and making them, go the long way. They're not letting Tyreek Hill get over the back and get these easy touchdowns. And they're just letting them dump it off to Travis Kelce. So any sort of anyone out there that's gambling responsibly, if you're looking for him as a they're just dumping it off to him and he's just getting plenty of reception. So look, I think Kansas City are doing enough to just plodle on and do their thing. They don't want to probably show their hand too early in the season, knowing that they'll win enough games to make it to the playoffs. And look, I think they'll be fine. It's probably Baltimore have been the one. They lost to the Vegas Raiders in week one, and then Lamar Jackson has just gone cheat mode the last few weeks. He's been outstanding, not only running the ball, but he's found a pass as well. So probably Baltimore are the one. It's been a few up and down. The Rams have been up and down. Probably a Smokey who I think will get on a bit of a run are probably the Patriots.
Yeah. What about the Bills? Do you think they'll get over the Bills there in the AFC East?
Yeah, look, the Bills are good, but I just think the Patriots, they hit the post. They could have beaten they could have beaten Tampa Bay. They hit the post. They could have beaten Baltimore. They would have. They're not far away from being 4-1, or sorry, 4-2. So the Bills are good. Josh Allen is playing great, but what he needs to do is stop trying to hurdle people. He's the franchise quarterback. Just stand there and throw the ball, man. Don't try and hurdle, dude.
Well, you just need to have the Brett Finch mentality. Catch and pass, baby. Get it in and out of your hands quick as possible. one thing with the Chiefs, do you think it's a concern when it comes to the big game that the great balance of Tampa Bay is with their running game as well, which creates the deep ball threat because, if your running game's on song, you've got to get defenders in the box, which creates the chance to go along. Because they haven't produced really much of a running game, because they're chasing scores, that when you come to the big teams, you've got to have more of a balanced offense with you, so you can open up that opportunity to go along to some of their attacking weapons like Hill?
Yeah, I agree with that. And you've seen the teams that have been able to compete with them and what Tampa Bay did in the Super Bowl as they play two deep safeties and don't let anything over the top to Tyreek Hill. And they let you dink and dunk. Look, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was starting to get going for Kansas City. He's now injured. Williams came in last week and was a serviceable running back. Look, they signed Josh Gordon 2 or 3 weeks ago, trying to find that other wide receiver that could stand up. Now Sammy Watkins is gone. So, look, they've got three really big offensive weapons, obviously, and they've had to pay them. So, unfortunately, it's the old Rob Peter to pay Paul. You can't have all these great players all over the field. So they've gone with the big quarterback, the big tight end, and the big wide receiver, and gone, well, let's just hope. And, as we've said before, their defense is just really struggling at the moment. And these guys, they've got to be maxing out. They can't sort of take a drive off. They need to score every time because they just can't trust their defense to get a turnover.
The Chiefs are coming up against the Tennessee Titans. Running back Derrick Henry is flying.
He's on fire. He's unbelievable.
Where would he play in rugby league? Where would he be? Just the Viliama kick? I was just playing that outside back.
Yeah, get him on an edge and just go here. Get yourself at a little halfback, my friend. Or you just sit him on the pick and swing and get him taking those play ones out of trouble, like a Toto. Mate, he's a machine. I'm pretty sure he came out of the Alabama University, which is so successful. I think he won it. Did he win a Heisman Trophy?
I think he did. But anyone that hasn't seen Derrick Henry, this guy is just a machine.
Yeah.
Righto, boys.
He runs over people for fun over there. Mm.
Let's play a little game, a little draft game, right? So Finchy, Team Finch.
Yeah.
Right? And Nicky Davis. You can take three players each.
Yep.
NRL players. Nicky knows the NRL enough. To the gridiron, to the NFL, right? You've got to tell us the position as well. So who would you take? Finchie, start with you.
I'll go Safer Solomon, a tight end.
Okay. Dickie Navis?
I'll take Daniel Tupou, wide receiver.
Yeah.
Daniel Tupou?
Wide receiver.
Okay. Righto. Finch me in.
I'm trying to think now. Can it be pass players?
Whatever you want.
Christian Inu, or to his quarterback. You should see him throw a ball.
Fair dinkum.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if he'd still be in much good shape, old Inu.
He'd be smiling while he did it.
He would be smiling.
Yeah. Dickie?
I'll take Brian To'o as a running back.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I'll go Tomalolo as a fullback.
Right.
Fullback. Right, you may as well have to play someone. I'll cheat and say Jordan Mailata. I won't cheat and take him. Who do I take? That's a good game.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. If you had to take Tommy Turbo, what position would he play?
Oh yes, you forget about him. Where would he go? Nick?
Well, he can catch. He was a Sydney Swans Academy player at the start. I coached him in the under 15s.
Cool. Would he have made AFL?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The first ever Swans Academy under 15 team that played had Tommy Turbo was in it. And on the same level as him was Isaac Heaney, was in the same side.
Yep.
And in the same side was Michael Dixon, who is the punter for the Seattle Seahawks. So they were all in the first Swans Academy under 15s team. So now Tommy Turbo, you could have him as a running back, or he'd be sort of like the Cordarrelle Patterson, where you can have him at running back, or you can then put him out the wide receiver and throw it to him as well.
Yeah, Tom's a bit deceptive in terms. He is extremely tall, Tom.
So if we took 10 people,
Tom's extremely tall.
Of course he is.
You know, I guess when you think of the tallest players, you know, I'm not saying he's the tallest player in the game, but he's the tallest in Manly. You know, you just don't think. You know, you think of your biggest sort of forwards, but he would be 6'4", 6'5".
So if we took 10 people, like 10 players, you threw Teddy on there, Payne Haas as a nominee.
Teddy, the same, man. Payne Haas.
No, but if you took 10 over there, which will never happen, but if you took 10 over there and you said, righto, we're going to dedicate 3 years to these players, would we be assured that one player makes it, or is the depth too big there?
I'll leave that to you, Nick.
In 3 years, yes. The hit and run missions are the ones. Like you've seen some of the elite, like Val Holmes, Jaron Hayes, you go over there at the What the key is, I reckon, is for these young league players, if you want to go over there, and you need to get bank your credits in college because there's no other competition to really play in. And these American scouts, they want to see you play. And I went over there and did the punting. I was at the Chargers for a little bit. And they just, you can go and go, yeah, I played in AFL grand finals in front of hundreds of thousands of people, but it just holds no credit. So what you've been able to see is the guys that have gone over and spent time and played in university, and the scouts have been able to see them and show they can actually play. Because sometimes the pro days it's a bit hard. If you could take these guys over and play them in a lower grade competition, if you took Ted and, as you said, Payne Haas and all that, Dave Fafita and all those sort of guys, if you could show them in a game, then that's sort of the opportunity. And,
Fafita would be one. You forgot about
against,
him.
He'd you
be
are up against enormous. A huge sort of, yeah, I mean, he'd be huge as a, you know, a tight end or something. But the other thing, Finch, is what people haven't realised is I reckon some of these guys, if you had Dave Fafita as a, you know, middle linebacker, like just standing there in the middle, just smashing people, everyone's sort of going over there and they all think that the skill positions and transition from NRL to NFL, probably the easiest transition, Finchie, probably not for me and you, and not the greatest tactic. Nah. Well, I don't know, I'm putting myself, I played two games, so I'm an NRL player, so I understand what it's like. I didn't
probably
tackle anybody.
Probably made as many tackles as I did in those two that I made in the 300.
You wouldn't have missed as many as I missed, though.
You can't miss them if you run away from them.
That's
so, but the thing is, what the NRL guys should focus on is, look, defensively, the skill of the game is not as much. You know, there's not so much of a playbook defensively. So if some of these guys would go over and go, I'm going to play outside linebacker, I'm going to play middle linebacker, and just back your tackling technique, that might be the go.
Rightio, Nico. What about these comments? Have a listen to this. The Eagles' Jason Kelce had these comments on the American Ben Simmons.
If I go out there and ball, if I go out there and play really good, nobody's going to have any choice but to love me or appreciate me as a player. That's what I tell guys. You know, you write your own narrative. You know, what's going on, I don't want to crush any other player, but what's going on with the 76ers, Ben Simmons, stuff like that, all that is because of a lack of accountability, a lack of owning up to mistakes, and a lack of correcting things. If all that got corrected, if you're fixing free throws, if you're getting better as a player, none of this is happening. Everybody can bitch and complain about, you know, how tough this city is to play in. Just play better, man. The city will love you.
And that's typical Philadelphia, the sirens in the background.
Yeah.
Probably said a triple homicide there.
No, it's all legit.
Oh, but he's so true, Sugar. And this is what it gets me angry. You know, you fair enough, I understand your point. You know, you the coach puts you out there. But you're the main man.
Yeah.
And you've... You got beat by the Raptors 2 years ago. You missed it was a terrible moment for his career with the layup. So you haven't come up, you know, you fell short 2 years in a row and you're earning the big bucks. And, you know, you're telling the organisation who you want to move on and who best suits your... So when it doesn't fall your way and you get put on show, take the ownership. Be accountable.
Yeah.
You know... Jordan did it for a long time when he couldn't get past Detroit. He worked harder and won, you know.
It looks ugly,
doesn't it? It looks ugly, mate. And if I'm sitting in another team, I'm going, I don't want this bloke to play on our team. I don't want this bloke. Well, you see someone like Patty Mills for basketball. He's not tall. He's worked his backside off to get where he is. He's won a ring with the Spurs. And he's killing it. It's totally different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, James the Tech. He's filthy. Very, 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 very close. If we go off air in a moment...
He's going to strangle... get them sirens will be around here at North Sydney when he gets off.
He is in polar opposite view to you, Finchie. What do you think, Nico?
I agree with Finchie. I think what happens is everyone goes, oh, social media, and everyone's on... People used to have, trust me, I've heard them in the pubs. People used to hammer Finchie when he played a bad game.
Tell me about it. And that was me mum and dad.
Exactly. But you never read it. You never read it. And I think people just sort of fall back on the, oh, social media sort of thing. Well, people, whether it's a bad game or not, I think you need to be, and Finchie, you're right, you need to just be accountable to yourself.
Yeah.
And Ben Simmons doesn't need to go worry about what anyone else will say. You need to stand in front of the mirror and go, well, if I'm working as hard as I can and I'm showing myself, then... As the Kelce said there, people will just respect you for it. But yeah. I think the way that he's gone, that he's sort of going, I've made a blue, and how am I going to get out of it, and not own it, and not be accountable to it, and try and find a way out. And you're right, there'll be 31 other teams with players going to the front office going, don't trade for this dude. We don't want him here either. And you're right, Paddy Mills has gone out, he's worked his bum off, he's gone to the Olympics, he showed how much that meant to him, and then he came out and was on fire in the first game for the Brooklyn Nets. So, all these sort of things. And you want to stand up and take the big paychecks. You need to somehow cop a little bit of criticism as well.
Just boys, before you go, a bit of an AFL update. Sam Wicks, he's re-signed with... you know what's so stupid, Finchie and Nicky? Why do we have re-sign and resign? It's the same word, you just throw in a hyphen. Why do we do that? It's so stupid, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm usually was part of the resign. Yeah. Finchie, we'll let you resign before we sack you.
The no hyphen group.
And the resign really wasn't resigning. We'll say, well, we don't mind you. We just say, we'll let you resign before you get sacked. So
I
didn't get re-signed too often, Doc. What about you?
That's good news for the Swannies, isn't it, Nico?
Yeah, it is another one of the Swans Academy, the local products, and you sort of need that. You put in together a list and you can, there's so much, we spoke about it with Jordan Dawson last week and a couple of times on the show, where you've got this go-home factor a lot in for the Swans and in the AFL. So if we can produce our own talent here from Sydney, these kids don't have to go back to Adelaide or Victoria from wherever they're from. So, yeah, another great thing for the Swannies, keeping a young list together that made big inroads last year in the competition.
Talk about go home. Did you ever think, you know, you come from Collingwood, such a powerhouse, and then to come to Sydney, was that something you thought you'd still be involved with the club all those years ago? I think, when did you get here, 03, 04?
Yeah, I came 03. So, yeah, I went to... obviously grew up here in Sydney. Yeah. I was lucky enough through the father-son rule to go to Collingwood. Yeah. So with the draft, I was able to, you know, make a bit of a deal with Collingwood, said, look, we want you. So I had a sort of bit of security at sort of 15, 16, that's where I was going to go. So I was happy to get a foot in the door and know where, well, if I wasn't going to be able to definitely play in Sydney, I know where I'm going. I didn't have to go to Perth or wherever. And then, look, we got beat by 9 points to the middle of the Brisbane three-peat in 02, and I was out of contract, and it was sort of the last sort of chance. Well, if I was going to come back to Sydney then, I had to make it, because I sort of had a 3-4 year contract on the table at Collingwood, and then that would have sort of seen me stay there forever. So it was sort of a bit of a throw up the stumps and see if I could come back. It wasn't because I thought we'd win a comp for Sydney in 05, because we just only just got beat in 02. So it was it was to come home, and you sort of know these sort of things. And it was a little bit different back then in regards to being able to be closer to your family with, you know, social media and all that sort of stuff. It was, you know, the old telephone. So the go-home factor, it probably the biggest thing, Finchie, and what people don't understand here is you get a... let's just throw up a Jordan Dawson, for instance. He gets offered $600,000-$700,000 here in Sydney. He can probably just afford to buy a house. But he goes back to Adelaide, he can buy
the whole city.
Houses.
Yeah,
he can buy a street, and especially if that's from where you're from, and that's where you see yourself, life after footy.
Yep.
He's not going back there to get any more money. It's just that your value for money back in Adelaide or Melbourne or Brisbane or wherever you're from is more. So it's just, everyone knows, it just costs a lot more to live in Sydney.
Hey, Nico, we're going to let you prepare for the Saturday Morning Mowers Club. I see Kerry O'Keefe's on it, Tara Rusher, Joe Healy.
I just hope that our man Gibbo's got our new stingers going and all these sort of things.
Oh, he's got some stingers going with that.
Yeah. And what I like too, he secured a guest called Dale Vine. I love people whose surnames relate to their, you know, like Will Power in car racing. Our obstetrician was called... Dr. Child, you know, those types of things. So Dale Vine, he's on tomorrow.
I'm glad you said Child.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Saturday Morning Grasscutters Association live from 9 o'clock tomorrow. See you tomorrow, Nico.
See you, boys. See you, enjoy. Bye.